Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. First day of December, and it is a Wednesday morning, which means we're getting a chance to talk with the USD 3-3 Manhattan-Ogden School District, and we'll also hear from the Manhattan Fire Department and Downtown Manhattan Incorporated later on in the program. School Board has a meeting tonight on this first day of December. It's still weird saying that with as warm as it's been, and the year just has kind of flown by, but we do have two guests joining us here, including the Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Marvin Wade. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon, and I had the same thought as you, being December 1st in that forecast we just heard. We're going to take advantage of it as long as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there. Kristen Brighton, Board Vice President, also is joining us here today via Zoom. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
Well, pleasure to have you both on here today as we get set for the stretch run here before the holiday break and coming off of Thanksgiving. I know it's probably nice to get a little reset for everybody. Dr. Wade, is that fair to say?
Oh, definitely so. In fact, this morning I said to somebody, 3 weeks until winter break, we just need to get as much done as we can during that time. And I was corrected that it's 2 weeks and 3 days. So, people are really watching closely.
Yeah, that's it. Before you know it, December just kind of flies away, and then here we are in the halfway through the school year.
Well, that's true, and there's a lot of things going on in the school district right now, and I want to encourage people to go to the website, look at the events, the activities, and take advantage of the things that are going on right now.
Yeah. Well, there's a meeting tonight here, and not a lot on the agenda, but there are some reports that we're going to touch on here tonight. And I always find this interesting because, especially when you have a lighter agenda, I feel like it gives a little more time to these reports because they are important. We have the ESOL annual report and then the Manhattan Virtual Academy annual report. Those will be both had tonight.
I'll touch on both of those together just real quickly that I'm like you, having a little bit lighter agenda tonight gives an opportunity to really call attention to some of the special programs. We have a lot of special programs, but the ESOL, the Manhattan Virtual Academy, if anybody goes and looks at those reports, there's a lot of great information in those, and there's spoken reports as well. So we're going to hear from Emily Cherms and Brooke Blank about the programs and just a lot of great things going on with those programs as they adjust to the needs of our students.
Kristen, as a school board member, what do you look forward to with these reports?
Emily's report on ESOL is always very fascinating to me. I was going to pull out just a few facts that was in her report. A lot of people maybe don't quite realize how diverse and how many different cultures there are in our buildings. Her report says that there are more than 75 countries represented of students who are born in other countries who go to school in one of our district buildings, and that 900 students have families that indicated another language than English is spoken in the home. I mean, that's pretty amazing. That's almost one in six students. I think people don't quite realize between the university and Fort Riley how many families live in our community who are not U.S.-born citizens. And that there are 40 different languages spoken among those 900 students who have other languages at home. So it tells you how many different languages our ESOL staff have to support. And it's a pretty small team, like 12, is that right, Dr. Wade? 12?
Yes, I think 12 full-time and one part-time.
Yeah, people, and there's over 40 languages. And when you look at this list of languages that we are supporting students who this is their primary language, honestly, I don't even know all these languages. I mean, a lot of them are ones that I don't even want to try to pronounce them, Brandon, because I don't want to mispronounce them. So it's more than just Spanish and languages that you might expect. There's people from every corner of the globe who are living and working and learning in our district every day.
Yeah, it is quite fascinating. It kind of shows the diversity of the school district, and I'm a little biased here. My wife works in this department here, the ESOL department, and she gets to work with some of these kids on a daily basis, and, it's kind of neat to hear, just about some of the experiences that they have, because it's probably kind of intimidating coming in with English not being your first language and then having to come in and try to pick it up on the fly here. But I know the educators there do exceptional work.
And it isn't, as you said, it's not just a case of the language acquisition, which is a big aspect of the program, but it's also that getting acclimated, understanding cultural differences, a lot of supports for the families, the family engagement, family involvement piece as well. So it's not just the language aspect. And another, I always look at these reports in terms of at-risk students. And in addition to the language piece, I something that jumped out at me would be the dual qualified, that there's 82 of our students who are identified as not only having the need for English language acquisition, but also special education services. That adds another layer to the teams working together to best meet the needs of those students.
Yeah, that's totally fascinating. And, you know, you mentioned the culture aspect. It really kind of goes to show you, you know, that you know, how we're all different and making sure that they're also being respective of that from the educator standpoint.
Absolutely. I think that the classrooms that have students who are from around the world, I think that really enriches the experience for our native-born students as well, and they get to learn more about other cultures through that experience. I think it's a beautiful thing that our district has so many different nationalities represented, and while it makes life probably more challenging, it comes with its benefits as well.
Yeah, no question about it. The Virtual Academy report here tonight with Brooke Blank, that's also fascinating. We've seen kind of the importance of having distance learning, and this is kind of intentional, I guess, distance learning that they have at the Virtual Academy, Dr. Wade.
Yes, their program's been in place for quite a while now, and it'd be interesting tonight to hear about the expansion, because this year we added kindergarten through fifth grade, making it a full K through 12 virtual academy school. So that's of course increased the expectations of MBA, and they've risen to those expectations. It'd be good to hear about that. I know looking through the report, there's I believe it was 51 students graduated from MBA last year. That we've got 232 full-time students in the program right now. So it's a good size. There's 16 staff and just a lot of great things going with that program for students who, for one reason or another, have their needs better met virtually. And there's a map in there showing where the students are located throughout Kansas. And Eastern Kansas, Western Kansas, Central Kansas, we've got students from all over Kansas attending MBA, and you know they really seem happy with the service that they're getting.
You know, I had a chance a couple of years ago to interview Brooke, but this is before COVID happened, and I didn't understand the total necessity of having a virtual academy. But now, living with all the experience that we've had the last couple of years, now it's a little easier to understand why you'd have this as an option. But have you seen more growth in this program specifically because of COVID?
I think there has been some aspect of it because of COVID, especially with us, you know, still being in the midst of COVID now. But more than that, it's just we've got students who are golfers, rodeo riders, dancers, people who have different schedules that they just don't accommodate the usual school day. And MBA allows them that flexibility to pursue their dreams and still get a high quality education that's tied to standards and assessments and progress monitoring, all the things that we have in place in 383.
Yeah, I think it's interesting in the report, they kind of break out some of the reasons why kids choose this. And as Dr. Wade said, there's a lot of kids in the program who need flexible school hours because they're doing intense training in another area. This also is an option for kids who have very high anxiety about being in a large school building, and they need more of a personalized, quiet learning environment. And then there are also kids who have health concerns. There's just a whole bunch of reasons why some kids choose MBA. And I just want to make sure to remind people that they know that MBA is just as challenging as other types of our brick and mortar schools. In fact, they had a chart in this report that breaks out how many semesters of AP courses they take. And there's actually a little bit more AP offerings in MVA than in our brick and mortar high schools. So there's just as much challenge available to these kids as those who are in a traditional classroom.
And I want to just say, I'm looking at the report here and at her letter, and on page 76, I didn't know that the MVA had a mascot, the Monarchs, and it's a really cool looking logo. I might just add to that.
Thank you for bringing that up. One of the changes that Kansas State Department of Education put in effect for this year would be that used to be that they were virtual programs of a school, and MVA was aligned with Manhattan High School. But they made a change in the laws for Kansas where now the virtual programs need to be identified as a school. So they're a school separate from other schools. So in our case, MVA is now a standalone K through 12 school separate from the high school. And along with that process of getting identified with a code and all the things that go along with that, that the students and staff and parents decided they wanted to have their own logo. So they do, they are the MVA Monarchs, and they do have the logo that it's a lion with a crown on it. And it's neat to see that. It shows another aspect of the pride in the program.
I like it a lot. I think it's really cool looking. Let's take a break. We'll come back more with Kristen Brighton and Dr. Marvin Wade here from Manhattan Ogden Schools in a moment on News Radio KMAN.